Alma chapter 8. In the first verse, we find that the people of Gideon were preached things. It says that they were taught things which cannot be written. Now, this means that because they were in such a good state and everything was in such good order, then he could teach them things that aren't allowed to be passed on to us. And, you know, this is not the first time that we have seen this in the Book of Mormon, that people are given great and powerful things but about the mysteries of God and greater information concerning the kingdom and, I guess, how to perfect themselves, because they were righteous. And again, when people act like they're the chosen people, or begin as we do today and act like we're doing so well, we have to ask ourselves, are we receiving these extra things? Are we receiving extra knowledge? And again, the Lord has said that the gift that he will give us is that he will give us knowledge as a blessing to us. And again, we obviously see we're not even receiving the gospel out of the Book of Mormon, let alone any added information. In verses 2 and 3, it says that Alma goes to Melech, and he has success there, and he is able to get many to come unto Christ and be baptized. And then it sounds like he was able to organize a church there, or maybe the church had completely fallen apart, but he was able to get it all going again. Then he goes on to Ammonihah. Well, you know, this has been a great success for Alma, and not that he becomes prideful, but he begins, you might see that he would begin to think, well, this is really easy and this is fun. And again, when we do the work of the Lord, the major part of our doing the work is our own growth. And so Alma has learned a lot to this point, I guess, about following the Spirit. But now it's time for him to have some personal strengthening and growth, meaning some humbling and some persecution that teaches him more patience. And so that's what goes on as he goes to Ammonihah. Because as he begins to preach to them, we see in 8 and 9 that they're a hard-hearted people and they don't want to listen. So in verse 10, though, Alma goes off and he prays that the Spirit will be poured out on them so that they will then desire to be baptized unto repentance. But notice again, he knows that the true communication of man is through the Spirit. And we learn here that again, communication is through the Spirit, and that's where the power and the strength is. So that's how he wants to communicate. Again, we have to ask ourselves today, when's the last time we really talked about that all communication is through the Spirit, and the real communication comes in that manner? Well, they tell him they don't want to listen. They say because he's not that they don't belong to his church, and therefore he's not their leader, and he's not the government leader, so they don't have any reason to listen to him. Well, we learn here two things. First, they've separated from the church and they've pulled their group off, which, again, because Alma created separate churches, that was an easy thing to do because you have your freedom then, and you're not just constrained by a big organization that owns all your buildings and has all these other reasons to hold you to them if you don't stay with them. So that the Lord's church, there's maximum freedom, and here they have the freedom to say just no longer abide by the other church, and they lose their they obviously lose their state in front of the Lord. But they don't lose their buildings, and there's no compulsion, and there's nothing there that doesn't give them the opportunity to make a free choice to do whatever they want. Well, then, and also we learn that the standard thing of wickedness, when we begin to degenerate from the Lord, we go to men. See, and they're telling him that they don't listen to him anymore. Because he hasn't got any authority over them. Well, notice they even said because he doesn't have any authority in the church, meaning they're not trying to follow God. they're talking about a man. He hasn't went into the other land and says, I'm the leader of your church, and so therefore you have to listen to me and do what I say. He's went in there to preach to them about Christ, and we've seen that. So he goes, but here to them, see, in their reversion, if they had belonged to his church, see, they had to listen to him because he was a man, and we'll see that a little bit more. But the point is that's the mark of Satan, is when men begin to have authority and want to have authority over others and use that authority. And again, as we have both in the government and church today. So therefore, he decides to go to Aaron. But as he's going, he feels a lot of sorrow for the people of Ammonihah. And an angel comes to him and tells him to turn back. And in verse 15, we learn that the Spirit of the Lord is brought to us by angels. Because he then says to him that he was the angel that has been bringing him the communication from the Lord. And so we see that that's how the Spirit is actually delivered, is actually by an angel. And so now many have said, well, how does the Lord send His Spirit all throughout the universe and everything? Well, He doesn't. He sends angels to deliver it to us. And this is a interesting piece of information, which we could say is it's one of the mysteries of God being unfolded to us. In verse 16, he's then told to return and preach repentance or prophesy of destruction. Again, we see that again. And prophesying usually has to do with telling the people of destruction that's going to come to them because they do not repent. And in that way, we then see truly it's of the Lord, because the Lord always prophesies or pre-tells the people of any destruction that is going to come. Again, the Book of Mormon is a testimony to everyone today that destruction is going to be coming upon the people of the United States and the church and on the Mormon Church. And then it tells that one of the reasons why they're going to be destroyed, and probably the biggest reason is, you know, normally if somebody just wants to apostate and go off like the Lamanites, then the Lord just lets them do that. But we see in 17 that they wanted to overthrow the liberty of the land, meaning they wanted to overthrow the Nephite government. Well, see, again, now we see it again. They are centered on man, and they have began a desire, the power to usurp power and authority. And that's what they seek, and that's what they want, and that's what the devil has always wanted. He wants power and control over other men, and in any form that he can get other men into do it. That's what the war of heaven is being fought over, is the devil wants to prove that he's trying to show that the best way is through power and control, that's the way we make men righteous, that's the way we get things done. And the Lord says, no, things progress better by by having free agency and freedom. As we saw earlier, that who prospered the more? We saw the people who prospered the best and were the most wealthy were those who worked with their own hand, that did it the Lord's way, and each man had complete freedom, and they prospered the best, rather than those who wanted to form the big government, have the government control everything, and form their big Babylonian economy. Again, today you say, oh, well, that's obviously not true today. We have established this country, America, under a free agency, and it started out with a complete free enterprise, and each man doing his own thing, working with his own hand, and the truth is that all we are doing right now is the same thing that that Noah was doing, and that is writing what was that economy that was built under free enterprise. We're writing that into the ground, and so it is still true today. And nonetheless, the economic system the Lord has set up has been defined in the Book of Mormon, and that we should have the faith to follow the Lord. So therefore, he returns to Ammonihah, and he meets Amulek. And he asks Amulek in verse 19, will ye give an hungry servant of God something to eat? Notice that this is begging. he was required to beg of another man. Why? The Lord wanted him to humble him. And obviously he was told by the Spirit to go ahead and do this. So he's just following the Lord. He's doing what the Lord told him to provide some food. He wasn't thinking of it as he's begging to some man, or he just thinks that he's following the Spirit. And he's humbling himself before the Lord. But again, you know, how we act towards our fellow man is totally unimportant if the Lord says so. We're following the Lord, and what men think is should be irrelevant. But again, today, no, you'd never see a state president go into some place and beg someone for something to eat. But that'd be way beneath him. And so, therefore, someone has to prearrange for him to go wherever he's going and make sure that he's given something to eat and his food's all taken care of, because would never consider him would never consider that he would have to humble himself. And that is the important feature. How he does that, it's not up for us to say that a state president or someone, some servant of the Lord, has to go begging. I mean, we should be taking care of him, obviously. The point is that when we study this situation, we can see that there is a lot of pride in still, even amongst the leaders of the church today, that they feel that they do have to have a station and they do have to be upheld to some degree. Well, Alma here has to beg his people for something to eat, and that's what the Lord says. That's a good experience for Alma to. And again, these are experiences for Alma's growth. Well, notice that Amulek then gives him something to eat because he had seen him in an angel. I mean, he had seen him in a dream and been presented in the dream by an angel. Now, again, why do we know it's a dream? Because the angel, he said he saw it, the angel showed him it in a vision. Well, we can assume that the angel was in the vision, which means that he was dreaming, and then the angel showed him Alma, and that's the way. Again, we've been told that we receive a lot of, I guess, our visions, or that's what Lehi said, a vision or a dream. And but now again, the important thing here is that Amulek could have just said, "Well, that's just a dream. I'm just forget that. I mean, interesting dream. I don't know what it meant," but he just walked off. But see, he first, we see that Amulek went to the Spirit and says, "Is this real?" So then you have to not only have the dream, you have to have the Spirit testify that it is true, and then you have to have the faith to go ahead and do what the dream says. And I'm sure that it probably told him to do more than that, probably told him where to be that day and to receive Alma and so forth. And he went ahead and followed it. So he had to show some faith. When in verse 24 then, that Alma then says that he has been called to preach the word of God according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy. Well, we begin to see that it tells us how we're supposed to do missionary work. And a missionary work is, again, supposed to be done according to the spirit of revelation and prophecy. Do we do that today? We have to say, well, we better make sure that our missionary work is done exactly like the Lord says. Well, again, we don't have the faith. We don't believe we have enough men to go out there and preach it, to have that much faith to do that. There's a lot of reasons. Well, then we're supposed to back off. I mean, again, when Alma went and cut down the size of the churches at the places, he took joy in that because he wanted them to be strong and be the true and be done according to the Lord. Meaning that it's not just because it said it's the true church, but because it has the power of the Lord in it. And the way we maintain that power is to keep it inhabited only by the true followers of Christ. And so that's what so for him, we should say the same thing for us today, as he would say, and that is that that if we would just send as many missionaries that could honestly do it the way the Lord says. And again, we're not trying to, we're never supposed to do it even in an inkling our own way. Well, it says then in verse 29 that the word came to Alma. Again, his entire mission was conducted by the Spirit. The Spirit comes and tells him everything he's to do. And that means everything, where he's to go, where he's at, again, it's not done by a big administrative controlist. The Lord will control it, but we don't have the faith that the Lord will be in control of missions and missionaries. We therefore have to stick our men in charge and start telling them what to do. And it's the same old thing, that man likes to control things, meaning because he's inspired by Satan. And Satan is, again, the war in heaven is proving that men will always want to control things. And Satan's trying to say that it's the best way. And again, that's why he even allows some kind of success in the church, is because without affliction, because without his great persecution, because he wants to have this superficial success to show in anything to say, well, see, look at that. The force and control of men is what really is what works the best. But again, we see if we truly follow Alma, then each man just goes out with the Lord, by himself, following the Spirit to decide what he's to do. And he said, and then a sign that they are the true missionaries of the Lord is that they go with power. And why do they need the power? Because the true missionaries are then going to be attacked by the devil. Now, why are they so strongly attacked by the devil? Because of they follow the Lord. See, they're now under this whole idea of free agency, and they're creating themselves their own personal relationship with the Lord and doing what the Lord wants. This is now the Lord's plan, and now Satan's going to raise up all his forces to fight against that, because he's not going to have, because that again proved the Lord's point in the war in heaven, and so he can't have the he'll then fight against it with the greatest of zeal. And we must remember all the time that the war in heaven is going on, and it's going on between force and control and free agency. And then it concludes in verse 32 by telling missionaries how they are to preach. And it says that they are to preach and prophesy according to the Spirit and power. And not according to no foot chart, or not according to any administrative setup, because administrative setup automatically has the concept of being controlled by man. And when it's controlled by man, you can believe that the Lord has said over and over that it will then be controlled by Satan, meaning that Satan will be able to put his little renditions in there to pervert the work. And again, in the war in heaven, and then he's proving that that it's through force or force and control that things are supposed to be done, and that's what men want. And so the very idea that you believe it has to be controlled is a belief that we need to follow Satan's plan to some degree.